Blog Talk Radio.
Out there in Blog Talk Radio land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, everybody, welcome to the show. Let me get myself together here. Got these wires all tangled up and everything here. Well, folks, I hope today finds you doing well. Welcome to the show. If you would like to come in as a guest, you'd like to call in as a guest, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I have to give you a word of warning. I will not accept excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, random insults, character assassinations, trolling, things of that sort, gaslighting. If you call into this, if you call or leave messages in the chat that have anything to do with any of those things I just described, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. When you come in here, be respectful in your conversation. Okay, so just keep that in mind. And, you know, last week it was kind of sudden. I really want to cut back on my times off on this program. Last week was a good time because last week was my anniversary. My wife and I, we've been married for 18 years, and I thought I'd take some time off to, you know, commemorate our 18 years of being married. And to be honest with you, it doesn't feel like it's been 18 years, maybe somewhat like 6 or 7, maybe 10 years, because these 18 years have been the best years of my life, to be honest with you, you know. And I had a lot of people congratulate us on our 18th anniversary. Had more than 300 people on Facebook congratulate me for my 18th anniversary, which that was I rarely get a lot of people who congratulate me even on my birthday, you know. And these are things I don't get all caught up in, and, you know, I don't get caught up in. If you commemorate my birthday or anything like that, it's nothing that I get all bent out of shape, but it was good to see all that. But anyway, I was wondering what I was going to talk about today, because, you know, it just seemed like, you know, wasn't too much going on in the news this week. And it was so hard to figure out, oh, yeah, that thing that happened this week. What was it called? The election, you know? I did vote, and I will say this, and this is something I do not recommend, but I tell people to use their own judgment when they do this, but I do not recommend this method, but I voted straight Republican. Because I was checking out the candidates who were, you know, up for election in this area. And every last one of them, from what I saw, they supported the very same thing that I support. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to go straight Republican. But I do not recommend you doing that, you know. Now, if your judgment says for you to do that, then you go with your better judgment, you know. But just to say, you know what, I'm just going to vote straight Republican, straight Democrat, or straight whatever. Most of the time, I say 95% of the time, it's not a good thing to do. But sometimes you got to make the judgment, you got to make the call and say, okay, I'm doing that now. And that's what I did. I voted straight Republican because the Democrats, this is a problem I have with the Democrats. See if I can get some more volume here. This is a problem I have with the Democrats. The Democrats, they like to hang on issues that are really way off in left field. Let me give you an example. You know, this abortion thing. Now, I'll tell you all that abortion is not a political matter. It's not a religious matter. It is a moral matter. And the Democrats, they along with their lapdogs, the news media, they have conjured up this thing that if you are against abortion, you're against a woman's health. You're against a woman's right to choose. And telling a woman, you're going against a woman's reproductive rights. That's how they say it, her reproductive rights and things like that. And they really miss the point of what abortion is. And the Democrats, they push that point. Oh, you're going against a woman's reproductive rights. Oh, it's her constitutional right to an abortion. Now, that's one thing that really has my goat, and I don't know why people don't explain this a lot, but there is nowhere in the Constitution that says a woman has a right to terminate her pregnancy. Nowhere. And it is not a right granted by the Constitution. It's not granted by the Constitution. It's not granted by God. Abortion is murder. No matter how you slice it up, no matter how you dress it up, no matter how you try to sweeten it and make it sound, abortion is murder. And you got these people out here that call themselves, oh, I'm pro-choice. I'm not pro-abortion, but I'm pro-choice. No, you're pro-abortion. Because if a woman says, hey, I want an abortion, you're going to support her in her choice for an abortion. So don't sit there and say you're not pro-abortion, because you are. Nobody wants an abortion. The pro-choicers do. And they will fight tooth and nail to make sure that a woman has access to abortion. So don't give me the oh, I'm against abortion thing, because you're not. You're not. And I listen to these people, and that's all they seem to be pushing, the Democrats. That's all they seem to be pushing. Because, you know, earlier this year, you know, they struck down Roe v. Wade, and everybody got their panties in a bind. And all Roe v. Wade did was strike down Roe v. Wade. They struck down making abortion a federal issue, and they gave it to the states to decide, which is what the which is constitutional. Abortion is not constitutional, but having in the Constitution, it says whatever is not listed in the Constitution, they leave that decision up to the states to decide. And abortion is not in the Constitution. It's nowhere in there. And, you know, the people, they get out here, they get to yelling, they get to shouting, oh, you're just against a woman's reproductive rights and all that. No, because you're leaving somebody out when you say all that. You're leaving out the child, the unborn child. That's what you're leaving out. And here's the thing that gets me, and I say this ad nauseum, I'm going to keep on saying it, because you black Christians out there, a lot of you all are not Christians. Let's just say that. Other day I was listening to that crooked preacher, Jamal Bryant. He used to be a preacher up in Baltimore, but he decided to take his mess down to Atlanta. He talking about a woman's right to choose and all that crazy mess. The woman doesn't have a right to terminate a pregnancy. And they say, well, what about if it's rape or incest? You still don't have the right to terminate that pregnancy. Oh, well, what about if it's the life of the mother? How many times has a pregnancy led to the death of the mother? Very rarely. One of the founders of NARAL, which is North American, North American Abortion Rights League or something like that. I forgot the name of it. Bernard Nathanson, he said that he performed 10,000 abortions and not one time did they perform an abortion on a woman whose life was threatened by the pregnancy. So you can't use that excuse. Well, if she gets raped and she has a pregnancy, you know, that baby will be a reminder of what happened to her. The baby didn't rape her. Now, you want to talk about choice, then you should have made the choice to keep your legs closed. That would have been a better choice. Of course, they demonize abstinence, because abstinence is 100% effective. I actually had somebody tell me some years ago that abstinence is the reason why we have so many teenage pregnancies. I'm like, how? Because when you apply it, the teenagers can't get pregnant. How has that led to so many teenage pregnancies? And you got so-called Christians out there who cry about abortion being murder and whatever, but then they'll vote for people who support that mess. What's her name? Stacey Abrams down there in Georgia. She talking about, oh, abortion would be good for the economy. I'm sitting here like, and you all vote for these rascals. You all vote for these rascals. She said, you know, if we would commit more abortions or something like that, I'm not going to say it verbatim, but she was basically saying if we commit more abortions, then that will lead to lower gas prices, lower grocery prices. And you all out there vote for this rascal. Now, she didn't win, thank goodness. But I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. She did not just say that. And then you had these black preachers out there. They talk about, oh, I'm, you know, hallelujah, amen, and thank you, Jesus, and all that. And then they get all political. And look, let me tell you something. If you are a preacher of the gospel, you should not get political. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't speak out on political issues, but you should not be political. Your job is to preach the word of God. But a lot of these preachers, especially the black preachers, they care more about their skin color and their civil rights than they do about the word of God. They'll get up there, they can quote scriptures up one wall and across the ceiling and down the other wall and everything, but when it comes to their skin color, they pick up a candidate that talks about black rights and we need to restore voting rights, which I don't understand what they mean by that, because we all have the right to vote. Nobody is being hindered from voting. But they get them, they get these rascals talking about, yeah, we want to make sure everybody gets a fair share at the polling place, and we want to make sure that everyone has a right to vote. Huh, bump the word of God, we're going to go with this candidate, even though this candidate also supports abortion and homosexual marriage. But you want to call yourself a Christian preacher, but you vote for these rascals. You vote for these rascals. Now, earlier this week, we had the election. It was promised to be a red wave. Didn't turn out too much that way. I didn't think it would be that way. They're still counting. From what I know, they're still counting ballots in Arizona and Nevada. And see, when you got, it's been 4 days since the election, and you're still counting ballots. See, I tend to get a little suspicious about that, because of what happened at the last presidential election. Now, I think the only state, and those of you all who are more political pundits than I am, the only state that I can recall that really had a red wave was Florida. Which makes me desire to live in Florida that much more. But if you all can, you know, because I'm just not a political person, you know. Now, here in North Carolina, I think we may have had somewhat of a red wave in North Carolina, but I know the person I voted for, he won. And basically, the Democrats are nothing more than a bunch of shields for Joe Biden. That's all they are, you know. And I'm not saying this has hurt the conservatives or whatever during the election. Donald Trump is starting to show some cracks in his facade, and I'm at the point where I'm like, you know, Donald Trump, you need to sit down somewhere, please, sit down, because your ego is getting the best of you. Donald Trump has shown that he's kind of upset that it wasn't a red wave that he was predicting, which I didn't think it would be a red wave. But I think Donald Trump is starting to show a little bit of cracks in his facade. And see, like I said before, I am not a Donald Trump fan. And if he screws up, I'm going to speak out on it. Because a lot of people, they'll think, yo, you're Donald Trump fan. No, I'm not. I like his policies. I like what he did during his presidency. And really, in a way, I'm thinking that people are starting to really get to Donald Trump now, which I don't know why people keep bringing him up every time a candidate runs for election or whatever, and they're supported by Donald Trump. Why they keep bringing Donald Trump up? Because they want you to remember that, oh, you all, this guy, he's supported by Donald Trump. Y'all know Donald Trump, he's been married 3 times. You know, Donald Trump, he was a ladies' man at one time. Oh, Donald Trump, he's a racist. Oh, Donald Trump, he doesn't like Mexicans. So if you're voting for this candidate that's backed by Donald Trump, you're supporting Donald Trump. And I get tired of that too. Why can't a person get elected on their own merits? And a person doesn't even have to be backed by Donald Trump. But just for the mere fact that they're conservative, oh, they're backed by Donald Trump. But I think Donald Trump needs a cooling off period, needs to sit down somewhere, you know, take some deep breaths and whatever. But that still doesn't take away that, you know, there are certain elements. I really do believe that they are cheating in, they're trying to cheat in Arizona, Nevada. They're still counting the ballots. Now, folks, if I remember correctly, back in the 70s and the 80s, Election Day was a holiday. And I was listening to the Sean Hannity show the other day, and Sean Hannity said the same thing that I was thinking. He said they need to make Election Day a national holiday, because then you'll have more people to go out there and vote. And while all of a sudden voting Election Day has turned into Election Week, I don't get that. I really don't. Because most of the time when Election Day came, we knew who the winner of the contest was on the next day. We have a few exceptions out there, but now it's looking like this is going to become the norm. And I think the most watched election this week was the Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock election. And of course, that one went to a standoff. So now they're going to have a runoff. And I folks, I'm going to be like this. I want Herschel Walker to win, but I don't think he's going to win. That's just my opinion. You know, if I'm wrong, I will be wrong. I was wrong about Donald Trump winning his first election. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But Raphael Warnock is a great example of a person who he needs to make a choice of whether he wants to be a politician or he needs to be a preacher. You can't be both. And this man calls himself a preacher, but he supports a woman's right to choose, i.e., he supports abortion. But this is the thing that really does tick me off about black folks. We're run by our emotions more than we are by the truth. And this week, and folks, look, I'm just stating my opinion. Okay, if you disagree with it, that is fine. I have no problem with it. But I really don't think that our votes even count anymore. I really don't. Yeah, we had some good turnouts. You know, the big surprise to me was Fetterman winning in Pennsylvania. That just surprised me. And I think the reason why he won was because Oz was a very, what's his name? Mesmer Oz. I think he was a weak candidate. And keep in mind, people, we never heard about Dr. Oz. We would never have heard of Dr. Oz had it not been for Oprah Winfrey. So that's got me a little suspicious too. But Fetterman, did you all see Fetterman at the debate? If I was a supporter of the Democrats and I saw that, I'd be like, this guy doesn't sound like he should be running anything. I was surprised at that. When I saw that, I woke up the next morning, they said Fetterman won the election. I was like, what? I said, okay, well, you all got who you deserve. AOC won, you know, AOC, Hochul, all them New Yorkers up there, they won their election. So, you know, y'all getting who you deserve. You're getting who you deserve. And if you can't see past their phoniness, their fakeness, and you still want to vote for these people, you get exactly who you deserve. Now, I'm not upset about the outcome of the election. The only thing that upsets me is why we have to wait several days before elections are declared. I'm really not upset about it because, you know me, I got this mentality that God is on the throne. God is in control. I'm not upset about it. If my candidate had lost, I would have been like, okay, he lost. Life goes on. I still think God is in control. But the way people are acting behind the scenes has me suspicious. And it's frustrating when you get up, you're talking about a major election, you get up the next morning and they're still counting ballots. I think yesterday they still had 500,000 ballots that they were counting in Nevada? It was either Nevada or Arizona. Sometimes I get those states mixed up because they're in the same region. And I'm like, 500,000? They had 7 million votes in Florida and they counted those overnight. 7 million, and they counted them overnight. But let me just say it was disheartening to see how the election, how messed up our elections have become. We're becoming like third world nations. We're becoming corrupt. People might have a different point of view than I do. That's fine. Like, I see it. But this is what I'm seeing. And like I said, I'm not upset. I'm really not upset. But who won here? I might be surprised here or, you know, a little disheartened there. But I'm not upset. I'm really not because, you know, my life goes on. But anyway, the fruit bats came by, and they said they were going to try to disrupt my show a little early. So here to go. Come on, fruit bats. You said you were coming. Got me pushing the wrong buttons here. Okay, I messed that one up a bit, but hey, you all know what that means. That means I'm about to go to the phones, which means that I had to give you a word of warning. If you're coming on here to indulge in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, trolling, excessive profanity, things of that sort, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. So if you think that you want to engage in that type of activity, and you still want to come on the show, I will be happy, more than happy, to oblige you. But having said all that, let me go to the phones.
Hey, Vincent, what's
going on?
Hello,
welcome to the show. What's cracking?
Man, I had to call a zookeeper.
Some fruit bats got loose.
I couldn't help them. I don't know where they learned it. If they went to the kitchen and got knives. I don't know where they learned it from.
Oh, my goodness.
I looked up and seen a knife flying toward me.
Oh, my goodness.
But, no, the election was pretty good. Everybody I voted for won. Here in my state, all conservative candidates. And Arizona and Pennsylvania is shameful. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's just shameful what's going on in those two states. That's why I come. The federal ballots need to be separated from the state and local.
Yeah.
And those who vote with a federal ballot has to be vetted with credentials such as that of a U.S. passport. And they can use
exactly
other technology like the iris in your eyes, fingerprints, or whatever it takes. And those ballots should not be electronic. They should be done by paper.
Yeah.
When you walk in the poll, you tell the lady you want, the person you want to vote federally, they ask you for your ID or whatever method they go about checking you out to see if you are a U.S. citizen. They give you a paper ballot. It's only going to have three names on it. The president.
Pretty much.
Vice president. That's one. The senator, U.S. senator. That's two. Maybe, yeah, that's two. And you're going to have a congressperson for the district. That's all. There's no federal ballot issues. There are none. They can bip, 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 give it to the lady, get whatever documentation you need, and then you go, she takes it over and gives it to three counters. Counter number one, counter number two, and counter number three. Counter number one gets it. They tally it. Counter number two is handed to them. They tally it. And counter number three is handed to them, and they tally it. Then they put it over in a pile. After about an hour, they compare their tallies. If they all read 500, 500, 500, they keep on going. If they read 500, 450, 500, then they got the ballots right there. They can go into them and hand them back to candidate number one and repeat the process. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the day, after things are tallied there on site, the three of them stand there and make a phone call reporting their tally for that particular polling place. Simple.
Yeah.
You don't have to take
ballots
across town, across state, or send them to another country like Germany.
Yeah.
That's very simple. And see, this is what it eliminates. Non-legals cannot vote on a federal ballot.
That's right.
If you want to vote on your state and local, go ahead. Go right on ahead. Because you got a right to do that according to the Constitution. That's your ballot. That's your election.
Mm-hmm.
Federal government has nothing to do with it.
That's right.
Nothing. Nothing. Like down in Louisiana, some fools, I ain't going to say fools, some extreme people want to remove slavery out of the Louisiana Constitution. The people said, hell no. We ain't removing that because it falls in line with the U.S. Constitution. I can't understand people even wasting time with something like that, man.
Yeah.
But see, here's another thing. In Missouri, you get paid to vote. You say, oh, Bianchi, you got to be kidding. Yeah, you get paid. Because you got to be let off from your job 3 hours before the poll closed at 7 o'clock.
That's a good idea. I think that's a good idea, just like jury duty.
Right, and you get paid that half hour. Well, you would normally get off at 4:30. You get paid that half hour. If you normally get off at 5 o'clock, you get paid that hour. Then, if Abrams said what she said about more abortions, lower grocery prices, that woman's a damn fool.
That woman, oh gosh. And people vote for her.
Yeah, they do. And then, you're talking about a woman's health. She has a right to abortion because that right is a woman's health. Well, damn, you didn't think too much about your health when you had sex and didn't have no protection. You didn't have a man to wear a condom,
exactly,
or two or three, or you didn't have that female condom that's made.
Mm-hmm.
So you're nasty.
Yeah.
They nasty.
Mm-hmm.
They are nasty.
Really?
Absolutely. They nasty. They wasn't caring about their health when they laid down nasty doing that. Without any protection.
Exactly.
And probably didn't wash for 2 days after we're done. So, you know, right now, that's what I got to say. Where's the rest of the fruit bats?
Oh, that I think I got one in the queue right now. But before I bring them on. Yeah. Before I do,
you want to add to it?
Yeah. I know here in North Carolina, basically everybody I voted for, they won. So we, in a way, we did have a red wave here in North Carolina. And I love my polling place because every time I go to this polling place, I'm in and out within 15 minutes.
And I got one
year,
more thing, too.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, some states that voted for abortion. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
That's what the Constitution
mm-hmm.
says. That's what
that's
the court
what
says.
Is.
And I like
yep.
it that they out in the open. You know why?
Yeah.
Because I can boycott that state.
Yep.
I can boycott that state with my conventions. I can boycott it with my conference call. I can boycott it with my preferabilities. My baseball team league won't schedule no games in that state. The same way Major League Baseball boycotted Atlanta for the All-Star game, remember? And it cost
yep.
that state $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million. The same way the NBA, was they going to boycott North Carolina because of it was making some changes to its voting regulations and rules?
Mm-hmm. And
they
wasn't going to
have an All-Star game?
Yeah.
Well, hell, I can just boycott the NBA. I don't have to listen to him. Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to him. I don't know about you.
I don't subscribe
to that mess.
I don't either.
Yeah, so that's the way we do. Goodwill said they was not going to carry Kanye West's tennis. If somebody brought some in used, they wasn't going to put them on the shelf. Well, you know what I done? I called down to this Goodwill store in North Carolina, and I got the manager on the phone. I say, is it true that you're not going to display his shoes? I say, oh, no, that's not true. I say, are you sure? Because if you are, the clothes I dropped off there for donation, I'm coming to get them. I'm taking
them back.
That's
right.
Oh, no, we didn't say that. No, we're not practicing that. Well, then what you got now is people out there lying.
Yeah,
and I thought
yeah.
that Homeland Security is supposed to be going after misinformation. They ain't going on after
yeah.
misinformation on that.
No. Nah. Goodwill, though. Why would Goodwill?
Ain't that
wow.
something?
You know,
isn't
I
that
mean,
something?
You know, and yeah, right
bunch
now it's a rumor,
ass.
But still, yeah. I mean, it's oh gosh. Let me get this.
You had executive leasing, enterprise leasing, said that they would not honor customers who wanted to use their NRA lifetime membership card toward discount. I said, okay. I ain't leasing no cars from you no more. You go ahead.
Wow.
You want to bring somebody else in?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get this other caller in here. Let's see. It takes a while. I don't know why. I don't understand the latency. But anyway, caller, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call there, Brother Vince, Brother Bianchi. How you doing? Hey, looky here, y'all. I may not be a fruit bat, but I'm going to tell you something. I know a thing or two about fruit bats. And fruit bats, as we all know, are crazy, lunatic, demented, and dangerous. And they just elected a brain-damaged fruit bat in Pennsylvania. Now, given the fact that the Democrats seem to want to elect brain-damaged fruit bats, I have a suggestion for the presidential ticket in 2024. Here's my suggestion. Why not run Joe Biden and John Fetterwoman, or Fetterneck, whatever you want to call them. Why not run them two together? And here's why I think they should do it. Because obviously, the two of them together on a ticket is a no-brainer. Drum roll, please. Hey, man, look here, man. Look here. Look here. I heard what you said about abortion, and I'd just like to add one little comment about it that kind of reinforces what you had to say. Now, these goofballs are claiming it's constitutional right, almost a sacrosanct sacrament, solidly rooted in the traditions of the United States, which, of course, literally didn't exist until 1972, because every state in the Union, save one or two, had laws either forbidding it or regulating it severely. Every single state in the Union in 1972. So seven men on the Supreme Court hallucinated a right out of thin air, and I thought men weren't supposed to be involved in the reproductive rights of women anyway, but these seven men hallucinated up out of thin air. But let's look at this right. And here's the way you could sum up why it is wrong, and you were getting to the moral issue just a minute ago. Out of all the rights in the Constitution, abortion is the only one that I know of that every single time it is successfully implemented, it ends a human life. Now think about it, Vince. You can wage war without killing all of the enemy. I mean, I was in a war. We killed the enemy, and we took a lot of them prisoner, too. You can actually wage a war and win a battle without even killing any men. Occasionally it happens, without killing the enemy. You make them surrender, and they give up. There, you can wage war, you ain't kill nobody. You cannot wage abortion successfully without ending human life every single time. That is what we need to keep asking these people about it, as they keep bleeding about this right. That is why this right is singularly distinct over everything else we argue about. Because not only does it end an innocent human life, not only does it do that, it doesn't give them any due process. See, the only way they can make this level is to disregard the humanity of what is being destroyed. They have to negate it. They have to disregard it. They have to pretend that it doesn't exist. When I was pro-abortion, when I used to be a liberal progressive, Brother Vince, even I, in the midst of my depraved adherence to abortion, I would say to myself, I'm justifying it on the basis that it is a justifiable homicide. I never tried to pretend what was being destroyed wasn't human. Because I couldn't do, even in my depravity as a liberal, I couldn't make that leap. I knew it was what was being destroyed was human because I was at that stage myself once. So were you. Mm. So was Bianchi. So was every human being walking around on the planet. So I had to say to myself, in order to justify it to myself, in order to rationalize it, I had to say, what's being destroyed is justifiable homicide. And that's how I could live with myself for supporting it. These people don't even have the moral sense to ascribe humanity to the child in the womb. They literally either don't have the moral sense or they have convinced themselves that they shouldn't have it because they don't want to face the implications of what they're advocating for. Mm-hmm. And one more thing, I'd like to make a point on this that is very important that came out of this election. And I agree with you, it wasn't a red wave. It was a good night for the Republicans, and it would be considered a good night for the Republicans had not the expectations for a red wave been so high. It was a good night, and it may get better yet. But here's what the biggest takeaway for me was. One of the stalwart foundations of the Democrat Party, one of the most important constituencies, actually, whether they want to admit it or not, is Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And what did Black Lives Matter claim on their website? We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other's extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. That's what they said, and they scrubbed it because they knew it was bringing a lot of controversy. After all, Patrice Cullors admitted that she was a trained Marxist, And the whole point of Marxism was to destroy the two-parent family, the nuclear family. That was the whole point of Marxism.
That's
Karl
right.
Marx said so. So they had to get rid of that. Now, here's what was determined. Hold on a second. Here's what was determined in a CNN exit poll conducted on November 9th after the election. They interviewed 18,571 respondents. That is a damn good database, right? 18,571 respondents. And they found that out of the married men who voted, that they interviewed in this poll, married men went 39% for the demon rats and 59% voted for the Republicans. Out of married women, 42% voted for the demon rats and 56% voted for the Republicans. Now, here's where the tale is told. With unmarried men, 45% voted for the demon rats and 52% for the GOP. Now, this is the clicker, the clincher. With unmarried women, 68% voted for the demon rats and 31% voted for the Republicans. Now, that means if this is true, and if I'm a Democrat and I'm examining this, and especially if I'm in Democratic leadership and the Democratic National Committee, what I'm going to say is my party has a vested interest in preventing marriage amongst women, single women or otherwise. We have a vested interest in making sure that women don't get married to further my party's goals. And that, sir, by any recipe, by any measure, is an absolute catastrophe for the United States and civilization itself.
That's a good point you made there. You know, by the mere fact that you had that many married women voting for the Democrats, you know, that might be a sign that, you know, they're trying to up their ante in single motherhood, you know.
Precisely. They clearly now, based on this, and every poll I know of seems to show this and bear this out, they have a literal interest in preventing young women from getting married if they want to further their political ambitions. Think about the implications of that, if that is true, and if they act on that policy. If they enact policies that will incentivize single motherhood. Think of what that would mean. But let's face it, back in 2011, the New York Times ran an article saying that married couples are no longer in the majority in the United States. That was in 2011. Man, I'm telling you, man, we are in trouble if we don't look at this. This is the reason there was no red wave. Generation Z, 29, 30-year-old and under, 18 to 30-year-olds are voting for the policy to kill their children in the womb.
Yeah.
And that's not true for most women. That's true for the women in that generation, apparently. They want the ability, because they've been indoctrinated to believe it is a constitutional right, to kill their children in the womb. And I'm tired of people trying to sugarcoat it, because that's what it means. Every time you exercise a right, whether you say you want to or not, that's what you do. Now, you can tell me not.
Exactly.
So you're blue in the face from now until doomsday. Well, I don't want to kill the child, but I have no other choice because I don't have the money and my man to let me. I want to go to college, or I want to take this new job, or I want to join the army or whatever. But when you exercise the right, you kill someone. You end their life, and they are innocent. Now, we need to stop sugarcoating and make them face up to it. Do you think this is a justifiable homicide or not? Because that's why I used to justify it and rationalize it to myself. Oh, it may be a homicide, but it's justifiable. It's like killing somebody in self-defense or being a soldier in a war or a police officer defends himself with deadly force against a deadly suspect or a lawful execution. It's all the same thing. That's the only way I can justify myself, by telling myself that.
Yeah. And, let me just say that a lot of times people say that the candidates are the ones who are stupid. Nah, I'd say the people who vote for them are stupid, because it's just like I know you all probably seen Star Wars, you know, who hasn't? But it was a part in that movie where, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi was supposed to go and shut down the tractor beam, and he was going to do it alone. And Han Solo said, "You're a fool." And Obi-Wan said, "Well, who's the more foolish, the fool or the one who follows him?" You know? And a lot of times when I hear people say, oh, these like we will talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We'll talk about how brain dead she is, but really the people who vote for her are worse than she is, because I mean, some of these people, their personalities are out there in the open. I mean, just wide open. Ain't no question what this person's personality is, and you're still going to vote for this person. You know, I mean, it boggles the mind.
Well,
that's why I was so surprised when Fetterman
won. Loss, Lee Zeldin's loss, which, by the way, did help down ballot people in New York. Apparently, 4 seats were flipped probably because of Lee Zeldin's relatively strong showing in the New York gubernatorial race. But I was thinking that many of the people who might have put Lee Zeldin over the top or even gotten him a lot closer probably moved to Florida, who were living in New York. Tens of thousands of them who probably had they stayed in New York might have voted for Lee Zeldin.
Mm. And that's kind of surprising too, because you saw Florida went, Florida just went totally red. Florida just
went blood red.
Oh my goodness!
Have we seen many more chief executives in the United States in charge of a state who are more competent, more focused, more strong, more competent than Ron DeSantis? No,
I mean
Hurricane Ian wasn't even a talking point after a week or so, because
it
was so efficiently and well managed, the governmental response to it. I mean, I talked to people who are my colleagues who retired to Florida, and they told me about the response. They said it was just outstanding. They couldn't fault anything. And we got a governor. That governor is responsible for that. He oversees it all. He appoints the kind of people in place who are competent, know how to do the job. He oversees how they perform. And brilliant. Ron DeSantis' performance as a chief executive was almost flawless with regard to that. And that's what you need chief executives for. Not to give you student loan forgiveness. Not to give you reparations. Not to give you a welfare check. No. When the SHIT hits the fan, you need someone who knows how to deal with an emergency, someone who knows
how to
deal with crisis response. And clearly, that former naval officer, Ron DeSantis, understands management and systems. And he had the right people in place to respond to it effectively. And this is the kind of people you're supposed to elect, because maintaining order, maintaining responses to emergencies and crises is the primary responsibility of government. Ron DeSantis shines in that respect.
Yeah, yeah, that was a very bright spot on and see, like I said before, I'll say it again. Yesterday, they said they had 500,000 ballots that they were still counting in Arizona. I said, wait a minute. 500,000, but Florida had 7 million, and they did it overnight. And I'm sitting there like, something's afoot here.
Vince, did you see that election official in Maricopa County who supervises the election? I think he's the county commissioner. And naturally, he's overall responsible for supervising the election in Maricopa County. He listed all the reasons why it's taking so much longer in Arizona than it did in Florida. And what he was actually giving, whether he knew it or not, because these people are so unself-aware and so literally brain dead. I mean, they live in bubbles and they just constantly echo chambered each other. But he literally was giving the reasons as to why Arizona should be adopting Florida system. He explained why Florida didn't have the problem, why Arizona did.
Yeah.
And, you would think to yourself, well, hey, wait a minute. If Florida's so much more efficient and it doesn't seem to be any fraud or any complaints about voter access or anything, why can't you at least adopt some elements of the Florida system so you may not have as much of this problem?
I mean, really. And I don't even think, if I'm correct, and you all can please correct me on this, I don't even think Arizona has half the population that Florida does, if I'm correct.
No, it's not even half. It's not even half. They got something like 2.5 million votes to count, 3 million votes to count.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Far less, it's like maybe 60% of what Florida had to count. But Florida has a tiered system that enables them to count them efficiently. They have cutoff dates for when you can accept mail-in ballots. They don't accept mail-in ballots on the day of the election. Okay?
I mean, for
you
real.
You got to get it in 2 weeks before the election. You've got a mail-in ballot.
That's right.
So they can count
that's
them and
how
have
you
that
have
out of the way. And all
election.
They got to deal with is the election is the ballots that are cast on election day.
Exactly. And all you had to do was all you had to worry about is just the counting the ballots. That's all you had
to
do.
Florida has like
but,
five
you know, this
or six weeks
stuff.
Of early mail-in balloting. Plenty of time to get your ballot in.
Yeah.
If you want to mail it in.
So, I mean, for real. And I'm like this,
it's
too. If you haven't
science,
gotten that
man.
Ballot.
It really isn't rocket science. But see, you got to remember, I believe the demon rats thrive on electoral chaos. They are doing it because if they want to cheat, they want to have the option to be able to do it. And electoral chaos makes it easier for them to cheat.
Yeah, and makes it more complicated. And one thing I know about Democrats, they love stuff that's going to be complicated because they know mistakes are going to be made that are going to be in their favor. You know, like look at our tax laws. You know that how complicated that is, and they know that you know someone's going to make a mistake, and that's going to be extra cash for them. And I think that's the same reason why they're trying to confuse the voting system because it's going to be a mistake made in their favor.
Well, I got another riddle for you there, Brother Vince. Check this out. Now, I think it was a study made of some 13 or 14 elections that had significant delays that had national implications. I wish I could remember the details, but I do recall this much. 80% of them, close to 80%, went to the favor of demon rats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can't just be a coincidence or just a circumstance. I just can't.
Yeah.
I will not believe it. Almost 80% redound to the favor of the demon rats. I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I'll never believe it unless you show me absolute concrete evidence that, in fact, it's just serendipity. And I just don't believe
exactly.
it. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I don't either.
You call me election denier from now until doomsday. I'm not going to believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're election deniers on both sides. So what do you call them people that were mad about
that
Trump?
Because I just don't believe it. I mean, you know, there's some things, you know, there's circumstantial evidence, which is true. And circumstantial evidence may or may not be in and of itself proof evidence for a conviction, but oftentimes circumstantial people do get convicted on circumstantial evidence. I just have you know. And that is strong circumstantial evidence, as far as I'm concerned, of fraud, electoral fraud.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to we're at the bottom of the hour. We're at the top of the hour. I'm going to go ahead and do my advertisements. And when I am done, we will continue this conversation. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari. Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
All right, we're back at the top of the hour. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And before I continue the discussion that we were having before the announcements, I wanted to state something. And folks, I don't pretend that I know everything because I don't, but I want people to, you know, either correct me or corroborate with me about what I'm about to say now. And I said this earlier in the program, I'm starting to see that there may be some cracks in Donald Trump's facade. One thing I've always noticed about Donald Trump, he does have a big ego. That's one of the things I don't like about him. And he likes to brag a lot and whatever. That, you know, that doesn't negate that he was the greatest president we've ever had. So, but I've noticed, you know, I don't know if this election this week has something to do with it or if it's from the constant berating of him by our news media, which I don't understand why they keep berating him since he's not sitting in the White House anymore. If anyone can correct me or corroborate that with me, I would be greatly appreciated because, you know, like I said, I don't care who you are. If you start to mess up, I'm going to call you out, you know, and I'm just saying this is what I'm observing personally. I could be wrong. So anybody want to correct me or corroborate with me
Donald
on that?
Trump, it's nothing wrong with Donald Trump. You have to look at a candidate's policies, party's policies. That's what you're voting for. You ain't vote. How in the heck can we say that Donald Trump's personality, then you look at Marion Barry, hell, he was a damn crackhead and got reelected coming out of prison.
Yep.
Because of the policies he had and what he achieved. That's what it's all about. I don't give a damn about who the man sleep with. I don't give a man care about who he grabbed. As long as he didn't grab no damn rusty balls. So it's about the policies. That's all it's about. And see, it really ain't about skin color neither. We've been made to believe that. Because Clarence Thomas is black, but blacks hate him.
Yep.
You got Tim Scott's black. Blacks hate him.
Mm-hmm.
But Memphis voted a white mayor. Detroit voted a white mayor. But he's Democrat, both of them. Memphis voted a white congressperson, Steve Cohen. He's a Democrat. It's the party. It's the party. They like Clyburn. He's Democrat.
Yeah.
They voted another Jesse Jackson protege in after the one went to prison. He's black skinned. He's Democrat. So technically, really, when you look at and lay it out on the table, it ain't about the skin color. These people is drunk on Democrats.
Yeah.
That's what they drunk on. And you know, I was looking at something else. The population of blacks in Oregon. You know, the crime problem that's going on in the United States is being caused by black males. The crime problem that's going on in the United States that's causing all these problems in these red states with the Democratic blue cities is black males.
Yep.
We have to admit that. I mean, come on, let's be serious with this. We have to admit it. It's black males. Who else is it going to be? Look at all them. And we always talk about, I can talk about St. Louis. New Orleans. Crime rate in New Orleans is completely off the chart. Shreveport, blacks population, completely off the chart. Part of Baton Rouge, completely off the chart. Now, you do have whites committing some crime, but nowhere near like black folks are. These black males are doing.
No.
Nowhere.
That's something we
As
have
I
to
said
admit.
Before.
We need to admit that.
In 2020, 4,845 shot, 745 murdered. 2021, Memorial Day, 2020 Memorial Day to 2021 Memorial Day. 4,666 shot, 643 murdered. From 2021 Memorial Day to 2022 Memorial Day, you had, you know, you had another ridiculous number. Now, from 2022 Memorial Day up until November the 10th, you got 2,009 shot, 284 murder, and a total of 164 days. It's a problem there. No white police shot nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Not in these murders. Now, there was some other shootings, but we didn't count them. So what is going on with this group? Like in Oregon, Oregon's got like 4 million people. And black population make up 1.8% of the population. 1.8% of the population, about 79,000. They got the highest poverty rate at 27.4%. You got the less marriage of anybody, less those that's married, never been married, divorced, widow, separated. They got the highest unemployment rate, which is 8%. So you have to ask, what the heck's going on with this particular ethnic group in the country, especially in these red states, the Democratic blue cities within the red states? Because as that one report says, United States ranks third in the world with murders. But take out the statistics for five cities, Democratic cities, large black population, they would drop all the way down to 189 out of 193. So what's going on?
Oh, I tell you what's going on, Pionki. And look here, man. You're absolutely right that the surge in violent crime is being impelled by young black men, mainly by young black men in the ages of 18 and 30. But we also need to emphasize this. Even saying that, which is true, it is a small percentage of recidivist violent black men who the black community will not outright and forthrightly condemn and demand that law enforcement take control of and put away so the rest of us can be relatively safe. That's the biggest problem. The black community is too afraid of either criticism, either afraid of police backlash because they're a bunch of Marxists who want to extol the lumpen proletariat, or for any number of reasons that is hard to fathom, they just don't want them to put this subset, this small subset of young black men under control. And until they do, we're going to keep seeing this. And they've got to stop rationalizing and apologizing for them, because they don't belong in society with the rest of us until they either reform their ways or they're effectively neutralized.
Well, I got a better one for you. I believe the Democrats want to systematically exterminate blacks, because in Louisiana you got a white Democratic governor. He could do something. He ain't doing nothing. You got in New Orleans a black female mayor. I say you got the same thing in Shreveport. In Chicago, you got a black, almost openly gay female mayor. She ain't doing nothing. She told the police to stop foot chasing criminals.
And I made the joke.
Well, what about the damn police dogs? How they going? Are they supposed to catch Uber to chase a criminal?
I mean, really?
Then you got Attorney General in Illinois, a black female woman. Not the Attorney General. You got the Lieutenant Governor, the second in command of the state. The Attorney General is a black male.
Yeah, well, the Cook County, the state attorney is a black woman, Kim Fox.
Yeah,
she's one of the worst
right.
in the nation.
She's one of the worst, Kim Fox. And then Kim Fox let go over 25,000 felony cases.
Oh,
then
Lord.
The Secretary of State in Illinois was a black male. So, hell, you got the highest offices in the damn state. And look at it as far as the criminality that's in Chicago. And also, there's some other cities that's got the criminality, too. East St. Louis, downstate, ain't hardly nobody there. They all been shot up. I mean, sooner or later, we'll stop now because everybody been shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, man. I know. I mean, this thing with the crime thing is the most confounding thing I've ever seen because I cannot ever recall a period in the United States history, certainly not within living memory, where there was a perception that the police cannot control crime. Not that crime is out of control and the police need to crack down on it because there have been periods like that before, and the police usually make the crackdown and get it pretty much under control because they're never going to stop all crime. Anybody thinks they are is crazy. I mean, as police officers, I know that ain't going to happen. But you give at the very least the perception to the public that you have it under control and or can always improve it. Nowadays, there seems to be a perception that that cannot be accomplished. That is something I have never thought I would ever see here in this country.
And then, too.
And it's been fostered. It's been fostered by deliberate policy, mainly by demon rats in demon rat-run cities.
And then, too, that ain't all. They're killing kids. They're killing babies.
Yeah.
And they're killing kids under 5 years old. They just don't make no difference to the kid in the way. Shoot them. Get them out of the way. Then shoot who you're
going
at.
Well, don't forget, again, one of the patron saints of the Democratic Party, Margaret Sanger, literally wanted to exterminate black people through birth control policies, particularly the use of abortion and birth control.
She's clapping her hands in the grave.
She's in hell celebrating these demon rats.
Mm-hmm. They having a cool down period in hell, bringing out the ice lemonade. That's what they're doing. And then, here's the way, man.
You had all them demon rats on the demon rat plantation, man. They just, give me more.
And here's the other thing, too. You got black parents killing their kids. You got black parents looking at their kids saying they're a demon and killing them. Something's wrong with these people, man.
I mean, for real.
You got black males breaking into a woman's home in Tennessee looking for drugs. And she said, I ain't got no drugs and money. They bring out her two male toddlers and decapitate them in front of the woman. Cut their heads.
Gosh.
No, they saw their heads off.
Oh, my goodness.
We've heard now about, everybody's up in arms about this Netflix series by Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember that? Jeffrey Dahmer. He killed these about 17. I think his total was like 17 or 19 victims. Well, the biggest serial in living memory, the serial killer with the biggest body count that we are certain of,
93.
Is Samuel Little, a black man who they know has pointed them and told them where to find 49 of his victims' bodies, which they pretty much recovered all of them, and they think he might have killed up to 94 victims, and most
That's
of them
right.
were black women. Most of them were black women.
He's the biggest, and he went out the ones with long necks. It was something fascinating about long necks.
Oh, yeah, he's just much bigger freak killer than Jeffrey Dahmer.
Absolutely. Mm. Nobody talks about him.
But, you know, you can't talk no. about it. You know, that only white men do that kind of thing, and that's a lie, too. Black men no. are disproportionately serial killers.
Yes.
You damn right they are. I mean, what do you call Chicago? Yeah. They go on the funeral and shoot up people. They were someplace, 14 kids got shot last weekend. No, Halloween weekend. 14 black kids got shot.
We got to stop with all these radicalizations and confront this thing forthrightly, man, and we're not going to get a handle on it. The first thing in fixing a problem is identifying it accurately, and that's not being done because of sensitivities, political correctness, and this idiotic regime of wokeness. It's got to be annihilated, wiped out. So we can see the truth and do what needs to be done to fix it.
Then Joe Biden
I see wokeness as the reason why everything is going south like it is, because a lot of people who are being elected, you know, the Democrats, you know, they have this sense of wokeness in their mentality. And so when they get elected to their districts or cities or whatever, they're like, you know, what can we do to cut down on police killing black people instead of looking and saying, what can we do for overall crime, you know, in general? They're so caught up in, you know, let's see how we can cut down on, you know, these crimes against black people. You know, and that's the reason why. Yeah, I really do believe that's the reason why.
I don't know what's wrong with you,
crime.
I was a police officer for 23 years, man, and you do not deploy police officers where the crime is not at. You deploy them
where
it is when you got whatever resources you got. You deploy it where the worst crime is. I'm talking about beat officers. I'm not talking about investigators who investigate embezzlement. I'm talking about beat officers whose job it is to maintain law and order on the street where people don't have to look over their shoulders because they're worried about being pushed in the line of travel of a subway train or being mugged on the street. You deploy the police officers where the crime is at. That's where you put them. And right now you have to put them in communities that have an epidemic and a surge in violent crime, and that is in demon rat-run blue cities. It just is.
Mm-hmm. That's how it is.
Pushed in front of subway train, beat with bats, said you can't come down this street in canvas because you're a Republican. And then they beat the guy up. This is a white guy. Beat him up, put their feet on his neck, then go get dogs and sick on him.
Yeah.
The very thing that they complain about.
Yeah, wherever the crime is at, that's where you send your cops. And right now, the place to send the police, for the most part, is in demon rat-run blue cities. I don't care if it's in a red state. The governor does not have control over day-to-day operations of the police force in almost any state.
And then they attack the kids that's doing well. It reminds me of back in the day that black kids that went to Catholic school and walked home with their uniforms on, they was attacked. Oh, you think you better than us? They were attacked. You had to take that Catholic skirt off. You had to take that bow tie off and that shirt. It wasn't a bow tie, it was a necktie. They weren't a bow tie, except the Nation of Islam.
Well,
because the black kids in the neighborhood would jump on you, man.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, I live in a Democrat county. The public officials in my county, even though it's run by Democrats, they're not crazy. They're rational. They maintain order. They don't do and say crazy things. And they're not like demon rat politicians in a lot of these big blue cities and big blue states. They're relatively sensible. They seem to run good policies. Most of the young black men where I live are decent, law-abiding, hard-working, courteous, civil, and really very friendly. This problem is limited to a very strict locale where disorder is allowed to reign and the police are inhibited from doing their constitutional and lawful duties to curb and deter criminal offenses on the street. That's where the problems are occurring.
Yeah.
You know, back during the days of the Cribs and the Bloods, Reds and the Blues, we couldn't let our kids wear them colors. They wouldn't wear them. We couldn't let our kids wear them colors. But nowadays, you know, kids wearing these red and orange looking tennis shoes and everything and long T-shirts. And you got the criminals, these savages go out and commit these crimes. And that's what they look at the people. Well, he had on a T-shirt and had on some Jordans. Well, then somebody who ain't done a damn thing out there abiding by the law, they're going to be looked at. I mean, what do you expect the police to do? That's the description that's given.
That's right.
And back to what we were just saying a little while ago about Trump, you know, despite all of the claims that Trump was and is anti-democratic, the truth is he respected the laws, traditions of the country, and the Constitution. He did not assume dictatorial powers, even when people were urging him to do so, like on January 6th. He didn't do anything to impose the federal government on these idiot politicians in D.C. and that idiot moron Nancy Pelosi. No. He said he's going to respect separation of powers if this is what they want, right? Okay, you got what you asked for. Now, you contrast that with Joe Biden and his weaponized Department of Justice and the law enforcement agencies and the fact that just today or yesterday, we had a federal judge say, hey, Joe Biden, you're acting like a dictator. You're disregarding separation of powers. You cannot forgive federal student loan debt without the consent of Congress. Congress didn't give you the consent. Congress did not legislate. Your program is suspended. But see, but that's okay. This low-down, no-good, dirty, good, senile, demented old goat, he got what he wanted. He gave these Generation Z folks this student loan forgiveness. They like little lemmings and sheep. When, oh, look what we got. We got a freebie from the federal government and good old Scranton Joe. So then they went and voted, like, on the abortion issue and the student loan debt forgiveness thing. So he accomplished his objective, even though he knew he had no legal right to do it. He acts like a dictator all the time, not Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does. And here's another thing. I get sick and tired of people. What are you saying, where you are? What's this?
Oh,
we got another half hour.
I know. I'm not trying to shut the show down. I just wanted to say I stand corrected, you know, because I'm sitting here saying, you know, Donald Trump has he's showing cracks in the facade, but still the dude, he still has some inkling of sense. He's not going to go out and rebel against the country or whatever and everything. He might be egotistical or anything like that, but the man is a law-abiding citizen. So I stand corrected.
No,
you're right about – Vince, you are correct in assessing his ego. He's got a hell of an ego. I think I would agree with you if you think he made intemperate remarks, particularly about what DeSantis, when he called Ron DeSantis de-sanctimonious. I mean, that was uncalled for and unnecessary.
Yeah.
But that's Donald Trump. I'm hoping he will regain his composure. And we got 2 years to work all of this stuff out. Let's hope it is. So there is a concerted front against this threat to the Constitutional Republic and our national security that is posed by the leadership of this present-day demon rat party. I'm hoping that will be accomplished by 2024, and there'll be a united front, whether it's Ron DeSantis, whether it's Donald Trump, or whether it's a joint Trump-DeSantis ticket or somebody else. What needs to be done is to close ranks because the enemy here is like nothing we've ever seen. It is truly an enemy within.
Well, you
and
know,
being manipulated by powers all around the globe.
And see, here's the thing, too. They keep talking about January 6th, talking about those people tried to take control of the government. Well, hell, I'll be damned. When them Black Panthers walked in on the California legislature floor during session with guns, weren't they trying to take over the damn government?
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Hello.
No. Was they not trying to take over the government? Walking in with guns?
Wait a minute.
January
6th,
people had no guns.
In Philadelphia standing outside the polling place with the billy clubs, and Eric Holder didn't do a damn thing about them.
Oh,
remember
wait
that?
A minute. What about this other black group called the Republic of New Africa? When they was having shootouts with Philadelphia police, they want to take over six states in the South.
Yeah,
they
want to
take over the state.
Was Benny Thompson on the January 6th committee.
Benny Thomas, who's chairing this January 6th committee, this black man from Mississippi, he was sympathetic with that group, which was led by Maury over there.
Yeah,
he's dead now.
He was a he regularly spoke for them.
Chuck Wade Malumba.
They wanted to secede from the union.
Absolutely. They're going to take six states and secede from the union. I like to see how they got over. But
man, these Democrats, man, whatever they accuse you of, you can guarantee, I can guarantee bloody well to you, they are actually doing themselves. Whatever
oh, hell yeah,
and
they're doing
they
it double time.
Of, they are doing it themselves, yeah. And they are doing it to divert attention from the fact that that's what they're insidiously working and doing.
They do it double time.
Absolutely
they're
right. Times worse. And, you know, and that's the power of deflection. You know, I'm going to point my faults, you know, I'm going to aim them at you and get the attention off of myself and get it on you. And that's a tactic that they have used to utmost success. And that's
they
why
come
they,
up with new,
know,
they come up
they,
with
yeah,
new
they
definitions,
yeah.
New
yeah.
words.
See that Chinese squirrel over there? Don't pay no attention to this fox down here. Just look at that Chinese squirrel running up the tree.
They lie, yeah. They lie, deny, and evade. You get in, you get the discussion with one. He will lie, he would evade.
And then they try to browbeat you, intimidate you, and bully you. And then they, on that final last resort is name calling.
Mm-hmm. Calling your coons and all that stuff.
And name calling
yeah.
and trying to cancel you and all that stuff. Many people are despicable.
Mm-hmm. That's what come I say it ain't about skin color.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the party. And they've been so
exactly.
well conditioned. And you know the sad thing about it, they got the whole damn thing ass butt backwards. You're not supposed to just vote for somebody and sit back and see what happened. Like
yeah.
you spinning a damn feel, like you on Wheel of Fortune spinning the wheel. You're supposed to have an issue that you need to address. You choose somebody. You support them. And back them and vote for them and send them off to the big house where they got to go negotiate and network in order to bring home the bacon. That's the way it's supposed to happen. And if they don't bring it home, you get rid of them and get somebody else. No, they vote and wait. And not only do they vote, they are told how to vote. They
Amen.
Are told how to vote. They never are
yep.
They never are instructed on how to do the research on the candidates and the issues
mm-hmm.
to see
That's
how the
right.
issues affect you. Then you got these out here that are always using words like we and us and they and them. I want to know what the email address is of this they and them. What is their address, post office box number? Who in the hell is these days? And worse than that,
yeah.
who is black? What is black?
Yeah. Exactly. You know.
Well,
I mean, it boggles the mind, but that's the tactic
you
that
admit,
they use.
Got it down to science. They really got this down
oh,
to
yeah.
science, though.
And you can't deny that their public relations tactic is second to none. You know. They know how to get their message out there, you know, and as corrupt
well,
as that
got,
message
they got,
is.
They got a stenographic press pool, the mainstream press.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
they're little lapdogs.
Out when the press is completely in league with you and doesn't ask you any questions, and if they answer a question, it's a softball beach ball with no follow-up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reason why, you know, that's the reason why I get so frustrated with our so-called black preachers who are supposed to be carrying the word of God, but they still follow lockstep with these people in politics. You know, like I brought up the example of Jamal Bryant, that goofball. He used to be up in Baltimore. And some mess, he got involved in some mess up there. He said, well, let me take my mess on down to Atlanta. He's up there criticizing Herschel Walker, and he's down there talking about a woman's right to choose and everything. And I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be a man of God. You know, you're not supposed to be taking a political – when you step into church, you know, you're not supposed to be talking politics. You're supposed to be talking the word of God. But, you know, he must have all lockstep because, you know, hey, I'm black, and, you know, my civil rights and my skin color are more important than the word of God, you know. So I mean, it's deceiving a whole bunch of people. It really is. Their PR campaign is second to none. I mean, that's one thing I do admire about them. They know how to get their message out there.
They go after black folks who fall for this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you got another thing here. You got these blacks that want to claim anything that's not lily white black. I tell you, they literally would get on an international jet plane, get off, get the binoculars out. Y'all see anybody black? There's one over there. Yeah, this is a black town there. That's right. One drop rule. One drop rule. Yeah, this is black. Anything non-lily white, they claim is that. They want to go all the way back before they even had newspapers, before they even had paper.
Yeah.
And claim that, this group was black. So they us. There is nothing further from the truth than those ridiculous acclamations. Totally, totally crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy, man. I mean, look, you go to sub-Saharan Africa, you got about 3,000 languages and about 2,000 separate ethnic groups. It is the most diverse ethnic place on the planet. And for somebody to claim that black people are one thing and this, but sub-Saharan black people are one thing and this, or one thing and the other, is absolutely nuts and knows nothing about the culture and ethnicity of Africa. Nothing.
Won't know the culture and ethnicity of the world. You go over there talking about, hey, brother, hey, sister. Shit, people will beat the hell out of you.
There's a little bit more uniformity in the Horn of Africa. Because you had the interaction in the Horn of Africa around Ethiopia and places like that with the rest of the Mediterranean region. So the influences from the Middle East and all that are there because they had intercommunication with that. And that tends to have more homogeneity when you have that sort of thing going on. But you go elsewhere, sub-Saharan Africa, that's not the case.
And just like this case with this man, Brittany Griner. See where they're going to put him in. They're going to put him in a work camp. Well, that's where you're supposed to be. That's what they do when you're a criminal in that country.
Yeah.
And then you have people acting like he's the only criminal from the United States. He ain't the only one from the United States that's in prison over in Russia. And you got some that's been there before him. So why are you going to put him up ahead of the rest of them? And I know some people won't say he's a she, but he says, but she says he's a he.
Well, you know how it is these days. Gender fluidity is the name of the game these days.
Hey, they gonna work your ass. They gonna work your butt and get every ounce of what you eating over there in them prison. You gonna spend?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Then you had some more. You remember the Breonna Taylor protest where you had black men marching around in that town in Kentucky with guns, AR-15s, and so forth.
Yeah, Not Effing Around Coalition. Remember them?
Yeah, I see where the leader. What's his name? Master J or something like that?
Grandmaster J. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to prison for 7 years and some more of them. Because you have some federal officials up on the roof.
Around then, huh?
Yeah, wait a minute. You have some federal officials up on the roof monitoring the protest, and they're going to look and see them and point their guns at them. Now, how stupid? Can I say it again? How stupid is that? You're going to point your guns, your rifles, at somebody's up on the roof looking at you? Well, you got a lot of time to think about it. Spending 7 years.
Well,
and they should have got more time because it could have hurt somebody. And plus, you're making it bad for decent, law-abiding American citizens who exercise open carry. They don't be pointing their rifles at people, none that I know of.
They're not very disciplined.
Real.
That was obvious. Remember, one of them shot somebody by mistake, had an accidental discharge. I don't know if it was accidental.
That was
accidental discharge.
Yeah.
Remember?
What was that at? Yeah, that was there in
Louisville.
Kentucky.
It happened in Louisville. Yeah. In Louisville, it was an accidental discharge, and one of them got shot.
And then they want to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse. I don't see what Kyle Rittenhouse done anything like that unless somebody tried to harm him.
Kyle was a master of his rifle. I had to admire his way he handled that AR-15, man. It was masterful. That kid was well-trained. Believe me. Believe that. He only hit the people he was aiming at. He didn't miss with one shot.
Exactly.
After having a stoppage and performing immediate action like a battle-drilled soldier. Man, I ain't got nothing but admiration for that guy.
And
absolutely.
Him a white supremacist.
Ultimate stress.
They wanted to call him a white supremacist.
I thought it was outstanding.
Shot, the two,
looked,
people,
I
the two or three people
at,
he shot were white.
Those videos, I say, man, that is outstanding weapons handling. That was the kind of thing I strove to get from my students when I was teaching them how to handle firearms.
Oh, man, he fell on the ground. His vision wasn't impaired from the jar or hitting the ground. Then you had this black guy going to come up and try to stop him.
And being struck by the skateboard.
Yeah, and you had this black man that's going to come up and try to stomp this kid. He could have shot him.
Yeah.
Except he turned and ran. He would have shot him in the back.
See, that is what you call judgment. This kid was on his game. He held his fire when the guy was no longer a threat. He perfectly exemplified the rules of self-defense, and these idiot prosecutors in Wisconsin tried to charge him. I was so glad to see them get their comeuppance. I have rarely seen prosecutors made to look so stupid in my life.
Yeah.
They were just made to look utterly stupid, and like they didn't even know what the law is. Everybody has to take a beating every now and then. What the hell kind of prosecutor is going to say something like that? If you try to win a case. He actually said that. I couldn't believe it. Everybody's got to be prepared to take a beating. Now, are you serious? And tell that little woman, some 200-pound punk, going to beat her in the middle of the night, and she got a gat. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to take that beat. You got the gat. You ain't supposed to use it. You're supposed to let him beat you and maybe rape you. Oh, I can't believe these. Something I can't believe what's happening in this country these days.
Yet you got people go out and vote for these people. That's the part that you have to scratch your head on.
Yeah, that's what I scratch my head on.
Z, man.
I'm like, how in the world?
You got to remember, man, the educational institutions had its way with Generation Z now for 50, 60 years. Well, not 50, so they ain't that old. But they've been worming their way into the educational establishment at every level for the last 50 or so years. And now they are reaching their apogee with Generation Z.
And you got this new Wakanda movie. They're getting pissed off because China say, you ain't showing it over here. You got openly gay people. Nope. Now they want to call China a racist. You had another woman who wanted to blame. You had another fat, not an obese black woman who wanted to say that weight loss is racist. You got Fetterman's wife. Fetterman's wife is saying that swimming is racist. The governor out in Oregon saying that math is racist. Another with officials in California saying that math is racist.
Remember,
what the hell is going on,
Well, we got to deal with the fact that they have been largely successful with these under 30-year-olds. We just got to face it. They've been largely successful, and we're going to have to factor that in accordingly with political movements in the future.
Yeah.
We have to learn this lesson, that the educational establishment has been remarkably successful in indoctrinating and brainwashing them.
Yeah. And so my question would be to you guys, seeing the state that that our country is in right now, and how things are, they're seemingly a little bit inconsistent and whatever. What do we do from here as far as the political situation?
The thing is, you got to educate your kids. And if you got children that's in a classroom where the teacher is openly gay, take them out. That's your child, your choice. Where the teacher is teaching explicit material, talking about how to put on a condom, on a dildo and laying up on the desk with the legs open, showing them where it goes. Take them out. Them are your children. If you don't want your child to be studying this misguided, slanted, critical race theory, take them out. That's your child. That's your school district. I would.
See,
it is.
That's the main thing. That's the main thing I say too. We got to. It starts with our children, you know. And the sad thing about it is, a lot of parents, they're so career minded that they think somebody else is responsible for the teaching of their child, and not only that, but a lot of people, especially with the teachers' unions, they think they should have more access to your child than you do, because, hey, we're the ones teaching your child, so we're the ones who can be forming their minds and everything and stuff like that. And a lot of parents don't understand. It starts at home. You should have a home that is conducive for learning. You know, a couple of years ago, when I heard that lady, her child was, he was in 12th grade. He was 2 months away from supposedly graduating, but found out they were going to take him all the way back down to the ninth grade because his grades were up to par. And she got mad talking about, this is their fault. No, it's your fault, because you're sitting there, he's playing video games all day, and you're not telling him, hey, you need to cut that off and you need to come here and do your homework. She didn't even know what his grades were. I mean, four years in high school, you don't even know your child's grades. You know, they have this thing, I think, what do they call it, a report card that they're supposed to take home to their parents and have their parents sign it, so and bring it back to the school to let them know that your parents did see the report card. But she didn't know her child's grades, and she's going to blame the teachers for it? No, you didn't make your home conducive for education. And I see it so many times, especially in the black neighborhoods. You know, they act like they don't care. Hey, that's not my job. That's your job. Hey, you know, I got my career to think about. You know, I ain't got no time to be teaching them that type of stuff. And see, this what it usually leads to is either the child becomes mentally abused, mentally and physically abused, or the child just becomes a dunderhead in school. They don't learn anything because they're not taking their responsibility and taking part in their child's education. Now, my brother up in Washington D.C., he as much as we don't get along that well, but one thing he did do, he noticed his stepdaughter was doing bad in school, so he said, "You're not going to play any games or anything during the week. You're going to get your schoolwork done. And if you want to watch TV, you're going to watch TV on the weekends." Her grades went up. So,
well, that's,
you know,
what you got to
take a responsibility. That's the duty of a parent. You don't just birth these children and just give them off to somebody else, you know.
In these school districts, these black school districts, like in the St. Louis area, you got Normandy, you got Hazelwood. Across the river, you got East St. Louis. When you got a school district where the high school has a proficiency, academic proficiency in math, 5% of the class, in reading, 10 to 14% of the class. In East St. Louis, it's noted for its football prowess.
Yeah.
Your math proficiency in East St. Louis, when this was put out, was less than 1% of the high school students. My goodness, reading, 5%. They shouldn't be playing no sports.
No. I mean, look at
they
Baltimore.
They shouldn't be playing no sports.
Look at Baltimore.
Did you guys see what happened in New Hampshire?
New Hampshire?
Tell us about it.
In New Hampshire, they had a Miss America beauty contest.
Oh, yeah.
And
this guy
must be about 280 pounds. A 280-pound man named Brian Nguyen won the beauty contest.
Them people up there.
And they had these beautiful young girls standing around them, smiling like everything's okay.
I wouldn't have let my daughter.
They looked a lot better than he did. They looked a lot better than he did.
They looked like women.
I was sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. Are you? And every last one of them was smiling. If it were me, I would have put a frown on my face like, I can't believe this wrestler.
I refuse to participate. I wouldn't even be in the damn picture.
My kids would, my kids would not participate.
And now they're telling these women that men can be better women than they are.
I wouldn't have had my child participate in it. And then,
we are living through truly insane times. Truly.
I mean, where the affirmative action is coming up on the court now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Again?
I've seen some of the comments by the justices asking, they're taking a pretty dim view of their arguments.
Well, it shouldn't be. This thing, the way it's evolved into, where you got some private schools that on the college entrance exams, this is when on orientation day, I know at LSU, you have to take some tests. And if you go taking up a subject about engineering, well, they're going to give you tests in those particular subjects like the math and the science, and you got to pass with a hell of a 5 grade score. But in these other schools, in order to satisfy what they perceive as unjust treatment to some, they spot black kids 310 points before they even sit down to take the test. Hispanics, 130. Asian, they deduct Asians 140 points before they take the test. So if an Asian have a perfect score, 1,600, I think it's still that, and maybe 2,400.
Yeah.
They still not guaranteed. They still ain't guaranteed that they going to get in. Because you're going to have to take this black cat child. And you know the funny thing about this, and I'm not blaming the kids. But these black kids, some of them, even after you spot them 310 points, they still ain't putting out a decent score.
Exactly. Yeah.
Why is that? And then,
you know, because you know, racism and wokeism and wokeism, you know, we's woke people now, you know. We want to bow down to you black people. Yeah, let's kiss your feet, you know, and everything, because we don't want to be seen as racist. But, you know, you got to call a spade a spade.
Did we or did we not pass the 14th Amendment in 1868, and does it or does it not mean what it says? And did it or did it not only apply to one group of people? I think the way it's worded, it applies to every citizen.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. It applies to every citizen, not illegals.
Yeah. You know, so.
It applies to those who are under the jurisdiction of the United States. Illegals are not under the jurisdiction. They're under the jurisdiction where they came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Wong Kim Mark said. Section 1 says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws? I mean, how much clearer can you get?
That's right.
Now, using a racial merit for a racial basis for determining admissions or hiring or anything else, it's clearly unconstitutional.
You're right.
It's not like you're doing it with veterans or athletes or scholars, because anyone of any race can be a veteran, an athlete, a scholar, or a musician. You've got to have distinctly unique characteristics to be a member of a racial group. And only the people born into it can qualify for it.
Yeah, it's, exactly.
I feel sorry for the Asians. And you know who else that should – they don't say nothing about these Africans. These Africans are kicking all of them. All of them.
Oh, yeah.
They have higher academic achievement than Asians, whites, and you surely you know they have been more than blacks.
Some
they
of these
want
schemes wind up discriminating against those African students, too, if you had not
noticed. Like at Cornell University, when you had the black student union was complaining to the administrator, protesting, signs and everything, you are letting in too many Africans. And that ain't the first time, because that same statement appeared about a decade and a half ago, if not two, where it says that the heading on the article says that the more blacks are going to college, but which ones? It was talking about the Africans.
Now you want to talk about what's racist, you know, that sounds racist to me right there.
That is racist.
Oh, these Africans. You know, I mean, let's just call it what it is.
That's racist. That's exactly what it is.
Black people, you know, yeah, certain black people, and the thing that I'm finding the hardest to answer, the question I'm finding the hardest to answer, and I put myself in this too, is how come we black people in this country, we find it a struggle to start our own businesses or anything like that. And someone can come from one of these African countries. They come here and they get themselves established. And in 2 years, they own in everything. And I asked myself that question. I'm like, now I'm an American citizen. I was born in Virginia. You know, how come I don't have the same success that these rascals over here from another
country
have?
I tell you one of the problems. Because you got them looking at all blacks as the same. Just because you got a black store, they don't need blacks supposed to come shop in it. Blacks ain't going to spend more money in your store than they would the store down the street. That don't make any damn sense. And see, this whole thing about blacks need to own their own store, only a few is going. You ain't going to have a store every other address on the block.
That's true, though.
You know,
what
sense did it make? So you're talking about, once again, enriching a few.
Hey,
Wait till you hear this one.
A Chicago construction company is offering, get this now, a $100,000 reward to anyone who can help reveal the identity of whoever allegedly placed a noose at the site of the future Barack Obama Presidential Center. But has anyone seen Justice Smollett lately?
I mean, for real.
It might have been him.
Man, I mean, the Lakeside Alliance is a company that's in charge of building the site, and they're offering this reward. Now, here's what I want to know. I want to know what's going to happen when and if they identify this. Are they going to try to accuse them of committing a crime? So if you leave a noose on a website, this is evidence of what crime? Are they trying to get a crime, or are they just trying to make a virtue signaling statement? What are they trying to do?
With all the shooting going on in that city, with the disgraceful and ridiculousness that school-aged black children got to wear bulletproof backpacks and walk and run down the street zigzag to prevent from being hit by bullets.
Well, I want to know how many FBI agents is Merrick Garland going to assign to this, because he assigned 13 of them to the noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. Remember the fake noose there? The door, the garage door pull?
Is something wrong with that man?
They said that was a noose.
You know that?
And they've been 12 or 13 FBI agents on that case. Now, I guess this one's going to, we need 200 FBI agents to figure this one out, I guess.
Is something wrong with Garland?
You think?
I mean,
it's something
really
wrong with that man. It's something wrong with his mentality.
But just say, he almost got on the Supreme Court. Good God, we dodged a bullet with that one.
God
didn't we?
Damn, we dodged a missile.
I tell you. Oh, man, I tell you.
We dodged him. There's something
wrong.
Has
anybody seen Justice Smollett lately? He's my biggest suspect right there. I think he left that noose.
Yeah. Well, guys.
Man,
anyway, we got a few more minutes left and everything. Anybody want to make a closing argument or? Because I kind of what I did today, I just kind of sat back and just listened to you all. Sometimes people say y'all take over the show and everything. That's not my intention. But y'all bring so much y'all bring so much knowledge to the show. A lot of times I'll just sit back and listen to you guys, you know. And some people might see that as being wrong or something like that. But I want everybody to get a chance to learn what's going on in this country. And if it takes somebody who's more knowledgeable about politics than I am, then I'm just going to let you all have your way.
Yeah, Dow. God, and heaven forbid to have a war and you have to send these idiots over there. Can you imagine them sitting around in a foxhole or whatever, smoking, getting high?
Mm-mm.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I appreciate your comments there, Vince, but, you got to remember, man, we got such a target-rich environment with these lunatic Democrats and progressives.
Yeah.
I mean, how can we miss? I mean, all you got to do is just pick something and throw it, and you're going to hit something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it's just so the atmosphere is so rich for basically I'm trying to find a word. I guess I can say for broadcasting. You know, it kind of makes it kind of easy. It makes it real conducive for you to broadcast on these things because everything is happening at light speed, and it's like, you know, just pick your subject. You know, and just go for it, you know, and but that's why a lot of times I'll sit here and I'll just sit here and listen because I'm learning something too, and I always want somebody to get something out of this program.
You wait till when Trump's tax reform expire in 2026. Taxes
going
to go up. That's all they know to do, the Democrats, is raise taxes rather than cut. And see, here's the thing. It never ends. The reason why you want to and how you pay, it never ends. You always going to have yet a reason that you need to borrow money and spend money on this, that, and the other. You got some students. These students going out to private entities getting loans. And you're going to tell the loan company, sorry, we got to forget. You can't do that, dummy.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, that's illegal.
Like you can't.
I mean, you can't.
Like you were telling these blacks you're going to reform police to get the police from stop shooting black. Well, first thing, hell, if you engage in activity that warrants that type of consequences, what the hell do you think's going to happen? Plus,
I mean, really,
Joe Biden has no authority over no local police. Do you understand how this stuff works?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's simpler than changing a damn flat.
Yeah, and it's things like this that I look at, you know, like when they talk about gentrification and everything, and they're trying to kick the black people out of their neighborhood. But keep in mind that within that city's leadership has several black people there too, so they have a part to play in it too. So it ain't no, you know, we're just trying to kick black people out of this certain area and everything. You know, you got to understand that a lot of this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. You know, I mean, you know, Michelle Obama, when they closed down the Cabrini Green projects in Chicago, she had a hand in that. But you're not going to hear that. You're going to hear, oh, they're just trying to kick black people out of this neighborhood because they don't want no black people near them. Nah, you have black people had their hand in that too. So, but, anyway, I'm going to end it on there. I want to appreciate you guys for coming on. I had you all on a little bit earlier than usual because, you know, I wanted you all to get out as much as you could because this week was
I'm just getting started.
Well, to be continued next week, God willing. But I appreciate you guys coming on and doing your thing and whatever. And God willing, I should have a show next week. I don't have any plans for next week. And to be honest with you, for the next several Saturdays, for the Saturdays that we have left in this year, I should there should be no breaks in there, not unless something very major happens or whatever. So we should I should end out with the rest of these Saturdays. And you all come on. If you all know anybody wants to listen to this show or they want to make a comment on this show and everything, invite them on. You know, I have no problem with debating anybody or anything of that sort. But anyway, you all take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a good Saturday.